greatest spiritual truths that we must learn is that God does not need us. Now, I know that sounds harsh right out of the gate, but it's true. God is God. He is utterly perfect. He loves us, yes, but he does not need us. Creation, the created world that includes you and me, adds nothing to God, and it adds nothing to his greatness. Our moral excellence does not add to God, nor does our moral depravity take anything away from God. Now, this is good news, because God can simply love us without strings attached. He loves us and pours his grace into us, and he doesn't even need to do it. It does not benefit him. It is a pure gift, a free gift. And get this, God wants to share his life, which is what grace is, with us, even though he doesn't need to. He doesn't need us. And that's good news. Now, why is this good news? Think about it. In that wonderful first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, God says, "All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost." You see, you and I very easily get caught up in the economic and calculating relationships that we have with each other. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do me a favor, I'll try to return that favor in kind. We make a sort of contract, and we try to live up to it. Or the opposite. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. You insult me, I'll hold a grudge. An eye for an eye, violence answering violence. We very easily transfer this way of our human thinking into our relationship with God. And he's not like this. And this is where the wheels fall off the wagon, where everything goes off the rails, when we start making our relationship like this with God. Because God needs nothing. There is nothing God gains from us. It is not an equal relationship. God simply desires to give his gifts freely, without conditions, without strings attached. It's the way he is. He is grace. In the words of St. John, God is love. He doesn't play tit for tat. He doesn't play games. He exists to freely give gifts. That's what we call grace. And nothing can separate us from this grace. In the words of St. Paul today, not present things, nor future things, no creatures, not even death, he says, can separate us from this grace. In human relationships, we allow all sorts of things to separate us from each other, to break our little contracts that we have with each other, but not God, not even our sin, because God's love is greater than your sin. And that's the whole point of the gospel. That's the point of his gracious forgiveness. Now, since we possess free will, we are in his image, after all, is it possible that we can separate ourselves from his grace? Yes. That's what we call mortal sin. The deliberate choice to reject the free gifts of God. In our freedom, we can choose to deny his gifts. We can choose to deny his love for us. After all, if love is not freely chosen, it's not really love. And so we have the choice to not love. But from God's point of view, God's side, no, nothing can separate us. If you and I desire to be reconciled, he will take us back every time, every time. How does St. Paul know this, that nothing can separate us from God's love? It comes in that last little line today. It's the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul knows that nothing can separate us because St. Paul knows that we killed God. And God, in return, forgave. That's the standard. That's the example of real love that we are called to follow. The meaning of the cross is much more than the death of an inspiring social activist or a popular religious teacher. The cross is the world, that is us, putting to death God's offer of grace. We said, no thank you, and we tried to kill and bury God's offer of grace. But that grace did not stay buried in the grave. Jesus, on the third day, rose from the dead and showed us that God's love is more powerful even than the greatest sin, putting to death the grace of God. So we turn to the gospel. When the disciples tell Jesus, there are too many people, we can't feed them all, send them home, send them away. What does Jesus say? Give them some food yourselves. Listen, when you and I live in a right relationship to God's grace, remember that grace is God's free gift of himself, his very life inside you. When we live in this, that means that we become conformed to the gift. You and I become a conduit, a gushing channel of grace. And then you give to others what you've received. That's what's happening in the gospel. Look what he does. He says, give them some yourselves. They bring the food. Jesus multiplies it and then has the disciples give it to the people. He wants us to participate in the giving of his grace, to be the channel of his grace. And here's the greatest thing. When we do this, you will find it multiplied beyond your imagining. Why? Because the gift that you are given is not you. You are the channel. You have become the channel of the grace of God, the free gift of God's life. You received the grace, and now you give it. And the more you give it away, the more you will receive. And you will find that if you do it without cost, without strings attached, you will never run out. Just read the lives of the saints, any of them, and you'll see it. These people are not passive people. They're out there giving and giving and giving because they figured it out. The more you accept his grace, the more you feel compelled to give it away. We can't earn God's love. It's not a contract. It's not this for that. It doesn't work this way because God doesn't need us. Open yourself to simply receive God's love, and then you will want to give it away, and you will become more alive because the life that you will have within you is nothing less than the eternal life of God himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Let us stand.